This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend's show is Roger Crotteville, president of the Mount Olive Academic Foundation. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Well, thank you for having me.
Roger, we are going to discuss today the 25th anniversary of the Mount Olive Academic Foundation, and you are the current president, and you've been the president since its beginning 25 years ago, and figured you'd be the best person to talk about sort of what led to the beginning of the foundation and how was the creation started.
Well, I think I have the good luck, I guess that is to say, to whenever I get a position, it's a lifetime position, and the foundation is no different. Back in 1995, I had been a former history teacher and retired as principal of Mount Olive High School. And I approached the superintendent of schools when I retired, Art McCormick, about the need to form an organization to provide my students with additional educational enrichment, but also to give them a level playing field when they go out in society and have to compete from people from all over the United States and maybe even the world. But anyway, I had two rules that I insisted upon if we were able to form this foundation. One of them was that there would be no fundraisers, because I knew that most of the people that I would get on that board would be older people, say middle age, upper middle age to older, a senior citizen. And in most of their life, they've had to sell Girl Scout cookies and Quarry League stuff and school stuff and what have you. And I didn't want them to have to do that, because I wanted to get a board that didn't have to be at golf tournaments and form that and so on. Now, that's kind of a bold move, because where are you going to get your money then? Secondly, I was strong in giving no scholarships. Some foundations give a lot of scholarships, and unfortunately, they're actually helping the people going out of the school rather than the people in the school. And besides, you could only give, you know, one or two, what have you. So I decided to try to use whatever influence I might have to get them to appoint board members and have them have those two rules. Now, Mount Olive is a very unique community. Not that other towns aren't this way, but Mount Olive strongly supports education. And what I mean by that is that bond issues, keep a five alive, those kind of things have passed in Mount Olive. Excuse me, you try to find another community in the area where that would happen. I think neighboring towns, I know Staunton's eventually going to have to build a high school. Theirs is older than the one that we knocked out. Litchfield's got a huge building program going on right now, et cetera. Okay, and I knew Mount Olive helped it. A few years ago, we had a bond issue fail. And it only failed by, 10 votes or something like that. I mean, where do you find that happening? So I know Mount Olive supports education. Anyway, so I talked to Mr. McCormick, the superintendent, and I helped form this foundation, not knowing where I was going, because other than the idea to have it, you know, I didn't know where you go from there.
You obviously had to do, after you brought up your idea, you had to do some research, and of course, if it's a foundation or, quote, charitable organization, you have to have incorporation papers and so forth. So did you go through all that, and sort of what was that like?
Oh, my goodness. That was overwhelming a little bit to me, but I was able to do it because I had the support of Sharp, Ron Sharp, his son, over at the Sharp agency, law agency in Litchfield. They were friends of mine, and through our friendship, they offered pro bono to help me get through this. We had no board members yet, and finally, eventually, the Board of Education named our first board. And we still, by the way, have four charter members left off of that original board. Myself as president, My wife, Mary Crotterville, is the treasurer, and David Kernich, and Linda Hasquin. Those are four charter members still on the board, still giving back to the community as I see it. So anyway, we had to get our articles of incorporation, a constitution, create bylaw, and other necessary forms. And I was able to get that started. And then, next we need financing. Where do you go for financing? Well, we created a computer list of all our graduates up until 10 years ago, which means that I don't want to send any kind of solicitation letters to anybody that has not been out of high school for at least 10 years. And that would make them 28, 29 years old because they're too busy farming their own careers, maybe supporting the beginning of families, etc. So I decided 10 years, so we have people who do try to keep our roles intact, and it is difficult because everybody has cell phones. You can't look in phone books to find addresses and that. And so the last, so let's say, 10, 15 years have been really difficult just to get the names in our roles. And I'm a strong believer about that our people would support us. And that's exactly what they have done. Donations, we're still at the peak where we were in our earliest years. In other words, meaning that we're still getting X amount of dollars in about every year. And it's not always the thousands, two thousands, or more. It's a lot of $5 and $10. It took us about 10 years to get memorials because you're competing against libraries and ambulance societies and et cetera. So it took us about 10 years to get on for people to put us in memorials. And we've also been listed in several wills, and that has given us extra money there too.
Now, you pointed out your first two thoughts were there would be no fundraising, and we sort of went over that with how you talk to alumni or keep in contact with alumni and stuff like that, and no scholarships. So with that thought in mind, how do you distribute the money that you bring in through the foundation?
Well, we created a number of things. One of the things is we set an amount of money. Right now it's $12,000. Every year we give a form to every teacher at their first meeting with the superintendent, and it's for a mini grant. They can ask for anything up to $650 in a mini grant, and we have no problem getting teachers wanting to do this, because so often mostly your elementary teachers spend a lot of money out of their own pocket to buy items for their schools, and now this gave them an opportunity. But we have numerous different grant opportunities. These $12,000, we give that out right up front, up to $650. We also give $1,250 grants, what's called the educational event grant. These are for one for the high school, one for the junior high, and one for the elementary school. Remember, $1,250. They can combine them. They get an inspirational speaker to come in, assembly, something like that. Then we also have Dr. Billiter has graciously donated some money to the foundation. He and his wife, Rosemary, the late Rosemary Billiter, donated to us some money so that in the fall we can give two $1,000 gifts to a teacher, what's called a big item gift, you know, one that maybe that teacher can only get once in their whole career, and we offer that to them. We also have the Judge Johnson scholarship. That's $650. That's given to them. And our biggest benefactor so far has been Pearl Lawson Becker Randall, who gave us a huge amount of money that we can use for funding. We have given almost over $900,000 in the 25 years. And just think about that, a town of 2,300 people and their school district and we have provided that kind of funding for they. We have probably, technologically speaking, probably the most equipped school in the whole district. Maybe not better than bigger schools, but at least equal to them. I mean, all our teachers had computers and tablets and so on. And it just, anything they needed educationally, they got. And we've done it strictly for education. I mean, there are coaches, yeah, I'm an old coach, like to get money from us. We can't, we won't, I have to turn them down and so on. But it's strictly educational, and it's all pumped right into the system. And so we give these grants, and we've given other ones, special ones, $12,000 to the band program a few years ago. We actually paid. We didn't want to do this because we try not to pay salaries, but we had a difficult time with the band program being able to afford it, so we paid half the salary for 1 year. It's the only time we've ever done that. We've also, the elementary school playground, for early first, second, third, fourth grader, because these kids are little and you want a limited playground. We invested along with the PTO into that, and you won't believe it. It's beautiful. It's state-of-the-art type of playground. Now, that's not books or pencils or anything like that, but the point I'm making is that education is more than just that. And all of these things, I don't know how many books for the reading program we have provided, the funding for it. We've helped fund National Honor Society, and just on and on and on.
With the things you've done, I think also from covering school board meetings and things like that, you were highly involved in helping the school get a lot of technology that was needed for each student. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. The technology that we have in our school district now, as I said a while ago, is top-notch. I mean, there's no school better equipped than our school system in this. And the teachers are, and of course the students. And by the way, we do something really unique. When the mini-grants are awarded in the fall, those $12,000 I told you about, we go in the classroom. I've been to every one. My wife goes with one, and any board member that I can get, we go in there with the principal, and we present these awards for $650 for this, or $650 for that, or $300 for that, to the kids directly and the teacher. And they are always so happy, because I know when I was a teacher a long time, you know what my budget for history was? $50. Even years ago, $50 didn't go very far. So there's a lot of things I would love to have had. My son is the principal of Pawnee Junior and Senior High School, and their foundation is strictly involved in scholarship. And he has told me on several occasions, Dad, what I couldn't do with $10,000 that I could put invested into the teachers. And we feel strongly about this. And it is just a wonderful addition to the school district for them to not be in want of equipment that is necessary to teach the kids. And again, these kids, we want to give them that equal playing field, that balanced playing field once they graduate, so they're prepared.
I have to ask you a question. As you said, you're in a charter member, and there's three others besides yourself that are still part of the foundation. How are members replaced on the foundation board as, you know, as time goes by?
Up until this time, I mean, I pretty much, you know, I'm pretty active in the community. And I know a lot of people. And I'm at the point in my age now where most people, I mean, my students right now, I have students who are 78 years old. And so consequently, I know most everybody. So I have asked different people over the years. Most of them, I won't say all of them, have worked out. Some I thought would be really good turned out to not be that committed. And you have to be committed at least to the meetings And because it's a tremendous job. I mean, we got the books are in order, and one of the key things of a foundation when you run it is trust. You got to have the community trust you that you will do well with their money. And our alumni do this. The money that they give us, they trust. And by the way, also, I make sure, I set them myself, within 3 days, everybody who gives us $100, and that's not memorials as such, you know, like at a funeral, but memorials maybe to a parent or to a brother, sister, somebody like that, or teacher. I give them a receipt in 3 days. It's in the mail. For tax purposes, I don't want them to think that I didn't care. And so I sent that receipt within 3 days, and when they get that in the mail, they know I got it. You know, it's like people, you know, often people say, you don't have to put my name in the paper. But put in a list of people in the paper sometime who give and forget somebody, and you'll get a call. Hey, didn't I give some money to that? You know, so they do care, and they are concerned. And that's another thing, too. The Mount Olive Herald, the local paper, prints. I do all this, too. I give them a list every couple of weeks of the people who have donated. Not how much they've given, but that they have donated to the foundation. And so their names are listed in the paper every several weeks in there. So it's a give-give situation where they give and we give.
Roger, we are coming to the end of the show. I guess a final question for you would be, as you said, you originally started looking for alumni of the school you could contact after they were, say, 28, 29 years old. Is that basically still your philosophy as far as keeping the members coming?
Yes, it is, but it's getting harder by the day. We try to find people who... you know, who can do this, but it's really difficult. And by the way, we have a YouTube that we invested in a few years ago, a YouTube presentation, Meet Mount Olive Schools. You want to see a state-of-the-art. Actually, we won a television prize for it. And we also, the governor's hometown award, we won that a few years ago. So we spent time at the governor's office, and it was made presentation to us. So we have good credentials in what we're doing, and it's difficult by the year. It's hard to get people to do a lot of things, but right now the foundation is doing very well. But I do want to emphasize the 29-minute video called Meet My Old School. It won a 2019 Telly Award winner. That's how professional it was done. And it is great. And I invite any of your listeners. It was for not only to sell our schools to the public, but we need students. Mount Olive has got everything but students. We need students in our school district, and you won't get a better education, I don't believe.
Roger Crotteville, president of the Mount Olive Academic Foundation, thank you for joining us today on the Forum program.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition. For WSMI, I'm Rick Davis.